at the destruction of Jerusalem. And we've examined the second coming of Christ, and tonight we're going to examine the resurrection of the dead, and Lord willing, next Lord's Day, we're going to look at the Day of Judgment and the end of the world. We're going to look at those two things together. So tonight we want to deal with the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead is something that is not just a problem today. I mean, not just a problem then. It's been a problem for a long time in understanding what the Bible teaches about the resurrection. They believe and teach that the resurrection already occurred in 70 AD. They deny that there will be a future resurrection of the dead from the grave. They strenuously deny that the Bible teaches that to any degree. They believe that the resurrection was a spiritual resurrection, not a bodily resurrection. The suppressed spiritual body of Christ, the church, was released from Jewish oppression. Now, if you don't understand that, get in line, because I don't understand it either. They believe it was a resurrection of a cause. They believe the resurrection taught in the Bible was a resurrection of a cause, not a resurrection of a bodily from the grave. Now, to better explain this, which I can't, I'm going to let them explain it for you. Here's what he said in his book, Spirit of Prophecy. The natural body that was sold answers to the fleshly or carnal system of Judaism in which existed prophecies, types, and patterns from which came the spiritual body designed of God. Judaism answers to the field of the world in which the good seed was sown, and he uses Matthew 13, 37, and 38. This natural body, receiving his death blow at the cross and beginning then to wax old and decay, and that Hebrews 8, verse 13 does say that, but not in the context that he's using it, became a nursery or a seed body for germination, growth, and development of the spiritual body by means of the gospel. Thus, out of the decay of Judaism arose the spiritual body of Christianity that became fully developed or resurrected by the end times. By the end time, he means 70 AD. Hence, this is the primary meaning of Paul's statement, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now, let me put this in terms that you can understand. What Mr. King is saying is that the resurrection described in 1 Corinthians 15 and in other places in the Bible was not literally a resurrection. It was a resurrection of Christianity. And it was the death of Judaism. But I want you to notice something in the middle of this. The church was not fully established on the day of Pentecost. It became a nursery and a seed body. What that means is it was not in its full state yet. It was in the process of growing. And that's what germination means. Growth and development of the spiritual body of Christ by means of the gospel did not reach its full potential until the destruction of Jerusalem. Now understand what he's saying. He's saying the church, as it was began in Acts chapter 2, was not the church that it became in AD 70. That during the time of the Pentecost, and during the time of the destruction of Jerusalem, that was the germination period. That was the growth period. That was the development stage. And all during the years, the church was growing and developing into what it would become after the destruction of Jerusalem. That is his premise. That is his theory. Well, what does the Bible say about that? This doctrine, theory, is not a series of misunderstandings. I talked to a fellow not some years ago. He said, you know, it just sounds like to me that this is a series of misunderstandings by the proponents of this. Wrong. It is not a series of misunderstandings. This doctrine is a systematic effort to rewrite the scriptures, to give it new meaning, to give it a new setting and to make it mean where they need it to mean to come out where they want it to come out at. Is this something new? Is this something new that men have tried to do a systematic effort to rewrite the scriptures? Is this something that's just true of the 21st century? And the answer to that is absolutely not. Look what 2 Peter 3:16 says. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things which are some things are hard to understand, which are untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction as they do the rest of the scriptures. You want to know something? I don't find anything hard to understand about the scriptures compared to this theory. This theory is hard to understand. The scriptures are not hard to understand. But there are some things that are more difficult. We're studying one of them. The book of Revelation is not like studying the book of Acts. It's not like studying the book of Genesis. It's not like studying the gospel. It's not like studying the gospel of John. It is a little bit more difficult. But a little bit more difficult doesn't mean that it's not knowable, that you can't understand it. It just means you got to spend a little bit more time. And so people have twisted the Bible to their own destruction, and this is exactly what the AD 70 people are doing. They're twisting the Bible, and they're redefining it to fit their theories and their doctrine. Now here's what Mr. King said. Again, whenever I deal with doctrine among brethren, I don't want to misquote them. I don't want to put words in their mouth. I want them to state their case, and then let's examine what they said. Now here's what Mr. King said in a debate with Gus Nichols in July 1973. The church was in the grave or the casket of Judaism until the Roman army destroyed Jerusalem. Now get what he's saying. The church was dead. The church was dead. If you're in the grave and you're in the casket, what are you? You're dead. And so the church was dead. The church was dead until the destruction of Jerusalem, and then you had a resurrection from the dead. That is what Mr. King is advocating. And that's what he said in a debate with Brother Gus Nichols in 1973. Now, the church was born on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And it was raised from the grave of Judaism in 70 AD. Here's my question. When did the church die? When did the Lord's church die? Now, surely if the Lord's church died, we would know that, wouldn't we? Wouldn't the scriptures have mentioned that point? If the church was started in Acts 2 and it died, certainly that information we would have been given, wouldn't we? And by the way, if the church died, that means it failed. And if it failed, that means a plan of God did not work. Whoa. That's amazing. That's amazing in and of itself. You see, the church was not raised from the casket of Judaism in 70 AD or at any other time. And the reason that it wasn't raised is because it never died. It never died. It was alive then and it's alive today. It has never died. That is a, brethren, what that is a conclusion that has no scripture behind it to prove it. If you're going to make the decision, if you're going to make the claim that the church died and was in the grave of Judaism and had to be resurrected after destruction of Jerusalem, you better point to a verse that says that. And 1 Corinthians 15 is not that verse. And I'll show you that in just a moment. That is not that verse. When the New Testament discusses the resurrection, it discusses a resurrection of the body from a grave. Now, you don't believe that? If I was on trial and I was giving testimony to prove my case, you know the first witness I would call in this discussion? Jesus Christ himself. And I'll let Jesus give my evidence. Here it is. In John 5, 28 and 29. Jesus said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming. Now, I want you to notice something. The hour. The hour is coming. This is a specific time in which all graves will hear my voice, will hear his voice, come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Who's going to come forth? All who are in the grave. The AD 70 people said that happened in AD 70. Now, brethren, that's not all, is it? Is that all? Did all take place in 1970? If it did, what about us? We're not included in that all. If you say this happened in AD 70, then that all does not include us. Now, brethren, that can't be right. And number two, that the Lord is going to call them forth. Did the Lord call those in the graves in AD 70? If he did, I want to see the evidence. I want to see the evidence that it took place. Now, Jesus is talking about a resurrection of the body, is he not? All that are in his grave. What's in the grave, brethren? What do you put in a grave? You put a body in the grave. This is not a resurrection of a cause. You put a body in the grave. That's what's in the grave, not the resurrection of a cause. The realized exologist says Jesus is speaking of the grave of Judaism. I deny, here's what Mr. King said, I don't put words in his mouth. Mr. King said, I deny John 5:28 is a literal grave in a cemetery somewhere. All right. You can deny it. That doesn't mean it's wrong. He denies it. You know why he denies it? Because it doesn't fit his theory. Of course he's got to deny it. Let me give you an illustration. Martin Luther said that James 2, the book of James, does not belong in the canon. He believed that it was not an inspirational book, and he believed that it shouldn't be in the canon. Well, why James? Why of all 66 books does Martin Luther think that James does not belong in the canon? I know why. You know what James 2 says? Faith without works is dead, being alone. What does Mr. Luther believe? He believes faith alone saves. Well, wouldn't it be convenient if James didn't belong in the Bible? Then that would prove that he could prove his case, couldn't he? But he'd have to get James out of there. Why? Because James denies his theory. You see? That's easy. And that's what Mr. King is doing. He says, well, I know what Jesus said, but that wasn't a literal grave. That's not a grave in the cemetery. Well, all right. How about if we go and get somebody to validate what Jesus said? Would that be all right? How about the Apostle Paul? Let's see if he validates what Jesus said. Jesus is not discussing a resurrection of the church from the grave of Judaism. He is talking about a literal death and a literal resurrection from the literal grave. You want some evidence? Here's what Paul said in Acts 24:15. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Now, ladies and gentlemen, is Paul talking about a resurrection of a cause? Or is he talking about a resurrection of the dead? Both just and unjust. Let me ask you something. Is a cause both just and unjust? No, brethren, it's one or the other. If you got a cause, it's either just or it's unjust. It's not one, it's not both. It's one or the other. Paul is not talking about a resurrection of cause. He's talking about a resurrection that also mirrors what Jesus said in John 5:28 and 29. That there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But you know what he has to deny? You know what the AD 70 theory has to do? It has to rewrite 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, don't worry. They're willing to do that. They're willing to do that. The AD 70 people deny a future bodily resurrection from the dead. they must change the meaning of the word resurrection. It doesn't mean what it literally means. It means something different. The AD 70 says the resurrection of 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection of Christianity out of Judaism. Now I want you to take your Bible and I want you to open it to 1 Corinthians 15. And in a very brief way, I'm going to show you the context of 1 Corinthians 15. Now, let's examine the text. What does the first 8 verses say? Well, the first 8 verses tell us that the facts of the gospel are critical. They consist of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And that it must be believed. And in verses 4, 5 through 8, it gives you a list of witnesses that were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Was the resurrection of Christ the resurrection of a cause? Or was that a bodily resurrection? See what he said? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Was it a literal resurrection of the body? Was Christ's resurrection a bodily resurrection? Turn to John chapter 20. Keep your finger at 1 Corinthians 15. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Remember the doubting Thomas? Remember, Thomas wasn't with the other apostles when Jesus appeared on the first day of the week after his resurrection on the third day. A week later, they're all together, and he appears. Look at verse 27. Chapter 20, verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hands here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Did he put his hand and his fingers into a cause, or did he put him into the physical body of Jesus? What was scarred? Jesus' hands, physical. Where did the spear go into his side that came forth blood and water? The body. What did he say? He said, look at the holes in my hands, look at this hole in my side. Brethren, that's the body, not a cause. Not a cause. In this context, he begins with the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Not a cause, but a literal bodily resurrection. And then he goes on in the verse 17 and 18, without the bodily resurrection of Christ, there's no hope for us. Now look at verse 17 and 18. Listen to the argument. Listen to the argument that the writer's making. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sin. And then all those who have fallen asleep have perished. What is he saying? He's saying if there was no bodily resurrection of Christ, then you and I have no hope of our bodily resurrection. And all those who have died, died in vain because they are not coming forth from the grave. Now, is he talking about a cause or is he talking about a bodily resurrection? How did Christ, was he bodily resurrected? Yeah. Without the bodily resurrection of Christ, we obey Christ in vain. Then we will not. What is the only reason that we believe that we'll overcome the grave? What is the only bona fide reason we have to have ultimate faith that death is not the end of our existence? What's the only hope that we have that we know that that's not the end? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why. It's not talking about a resurrection of a cause. It's talking about a bodily resurrection. Look at verse number 20. First fruits guarantee a harvest. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees a future resurrection. Look at verse number 20. It says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does first fruits mean? It means the first one. If there's a first one, there's going to be a second one. Who are the second one? Who are the next ones in line? That's the rest of those who will be resurrected. And verse 21 through 23 say, when Jesus returns, the dead will be raised from the grave. Look at verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. For as Adam all die, even so in Christ all will be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Now what's that mean, brethren? That means Christ was first, and there were going to be others that follow him. Mr. King denies that. Mr. King says, oh no, that's the resurrection of a cause. The cause of Christianity out of the depths of Judaism. No. Now I'm going to tell you the death knell passage for him is this passage. What's Jesus coming for? Look at verse 24. Then comes the end. Now Mr. King thinks that's the AD 70. That's the end. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father, when he has put an end to all rule, all authority, and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Question, has death been defeated? Where were we last Sunday? Has death been defeated? No. Death hasn't been defeated yet. And if death hasn't been defeated yet, that means that the Lord has not come yet. Because that's the last enemy to be destroyed. Are men still dying? Yes. And if men are still dying, then it cannot be the end of the world. And what's he going to deliver back to the Father? The kingdom. What's the kingdom? It's the church. And he said that in 1 Corinthians 15 that was written 8 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. What did Mr. King say? Well, the church wasn't its full-blown self until after the destruction of Jerusalem. Not according to Paul. Not according to Paul. The last enemy has not been defeated, and so he has not come. Verse 27 and 28 say, for he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. You see, when will all things be made subject to God? When death is defeated. Has death been defeated? No, it has not. And verse 29 through 34, Paul presents the consequence of denying the resurrection of the dead. Verse 29, he says, if Christ has not risen, then you were baptized for a dead man. You know, when we're buried into the waters of baptism, we've been buried into the death of what? The death of Christ. What do we arise to? Newness of life. If Christ didn't come out of the grave, and a bodily, if he didn't come out, then we're still in our sin, folks. We're still in our sin. Paul presents the consequence of denying the resurrection of the dead. Look at what he says. He says, I affirm in boasting in which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. And then he says, do not receive evil companions corrupt good habits. Why did he say that? Look at verse 32. It is in the matter of men, I have fought with the beast of Ephesus. What advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat, drink, and tomorrow we die. You know what Paul says? Go for the gusto. Get out there and have a good time. Go out there and do whatever your little heart desires. If there's no resurrection, just quit wasting your time and get out there and do what you want. But Paul's not saying that, because God has risen. And if God's risen, that's evidence that we will rise. And then, in verse 35 through 50, Paul anticipates the objections to a bodily resurrection. He gives a clear picture of the validity of a bodily resurrection. Now, we're not going to read all the verses, but I want to read you a couple. Look in beginning, look at verse number 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and a spiritual body. Mr. King says, verse 45, that natural body and spiritual body, the natural body is Judaism and the spiritual body is the church. Now go back, look at verse 42. The resurrection of the dead, the body is sown in corruption. What happens to our body when we die? It turns to dust. Genesis 3:19. It decays. That's what happens to the physical body. But it is raised in incorruption. What does that mean? It means it won't die. It won't decay. It won't be defiled. Now, brethren, question. Is that a different body than what goes into the grave? That's not the same body. But you can't get that new body until you get the old body out of the grave. Why? Because you've got to overcome death. If you don't overcome death, you're not going to get the new body. What goes in is not what comes out. It is sown in dishonor. What's honorable about death? Nothing. But it is raised in glory. Why? It's raised a glorified body. It becomes a spiritual body. It becomes a body that never grows old, never decays, never defiled, never dies. Is that the same thing that went into the grave? No, that's a different thing. It is sold a natural body. What you're looking at, you're looking at my natural body. But in the resurrection, this is not what you're going to see, thank goodness. You're going to see a spiritual body. But brethren, how do I get from the natural to the spiritual? How do I get there? You have to be resurrected from the dead. Don't you? I think so. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Brethren, if that's not talking about the body and the spirit, then I don't know anything about Bible hermeneutics. That's not talking about a cause. That's not talking about Judaism. That's not talking about Christianity. That's talking about the bodily resurrection. By the way, why did Paul write this chapter? What did the Sadducees deny? What did they deny? They denied a bodily resurrection. That's what he's dealing with. He's not dealing with the cause of Judaism. He's not dealing with the cause of Christianity. He's dealing with the subject of the bodily resurrection, because that's what the Sadducees denied. He's not talking about a cause. He's talking about the bodily resurrection. Just read the context. He begins with the resurrection of Jesus. That was a bodily resurrection. He talks about the eyewitnesses. Were they eyewitnesses to the cause? Were they eyewitnesses to the destruction of Judaism? How could they be if it is a cause? How did those men who were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Christ, how were they eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Christianity that did not happen to 8 years later? How do you do that? How are you eyewitness to the destruction of Jerusalem when it hasn't happened and it's not going to happen for 8 more years? Brethren, common sense comes in here somewhere. And then in verse 51 through 58, Paul praises the victory over death God gives in Christ through the resurrection of the dead. False doctrine and realized Christology denies this will happen. They do not believe that there will be a future bodily resurrection. Brethren, if you don't believe that, what hope do you have? If you don't believe you're coming out of the grave, what hope do you have? You don't have any hope. You don't have any. But brethren, that's what the subject was. The subject was the denial of the Sadducees that there was a bodily resurrection. Paul uses that chapter to demonstrate not only is there a bodily resurrection, if there isn't a bodily resurrection, then we're all here wasting our time, we're still in our sin, and we're doomed, and we're never going to get out of this world alive. That's what Paul is saying. He has nothing to do with Judaism. Has nothing to do with the cause of Christianity. Has nothing to do with that. You know how you get that? You got to rewrite the meaning of words. That's how you get it. Listen, this is not new. They're in the same company as two men that are named in the Bible. But shun profane and idle babblings. Now listen to what he says. Profane, that means unprofitable, no good. And idle, that means empty. What was profane and idle? For they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like a cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth. Okay? These two men have strayed from the truth. They've given profane and idle babblings, and they will increase to more ungodliness. What were those profane and idle babblings? And what was that message that spread like a cancer? And what was it that caused them to stray from the truth? Saying that the resurrection is already past. And they have overthrown the faith of some. Well, Lord, well, you know what? So do the AD 70 people. They have strayed from the truth. Their message is ungodly. It's profane and idle babblings. And it overthrows the faith of some. Why? Because they believe it. So this denying the resurrection is not something that's new. That was around in the first century. But God says that it was straying from the truth. God said it was profane and idle babbling. And God said that teaching will increase to more ungodliness. Why, he must be a prophet. Because that's just exactly what AD 70-30 does. It doesn't stop at the resurrection. The day of judgment's over. The end of the world's over. All prophecy is fulfilled. And the second coming of Christ has already happened. You see, it didn't stop with the resurrection. It increased to more ungodliness. That's what error does. That's what error does. But let me give you another argument. Let's let my Lord get into this discussion. The gospel of Christ teaches that we will be raised. Here's what Jesus said. Now don't believe me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him at the last day. Was the last day in AD 70? Was it? If the AD 70 is right, this last day has already occurred. I don't think so. The resurrection will take place after the last day. Realized Christology doctrine says Jesus is discussing the resurrection of the dead church from the grave of Judaism, and the last day is September 70 AD. They teach no literal graves open and no physical bodies were raised at that time. Really? You know what that does, brethren? That denies what the scripture says. That denies the words of Jesus. That means Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. And we're talking about the Son of God. He was confused. He didn't know what he was talking about. But if he didn't, he just kept saying it. 8 times in John 6, he says it. Last day. I raise him at the last day. He says it 8 times. Does he not know what he's talking about? Is he confused? John 6, 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him the last day. Jesus is speaking of individuals literally being raised from the dead. He's not discussing the resurrection of a cause. Brethren, where do people... You know what? I think maybe the LSD has kicked in again. You're going in on another trip. Where do you get this stuff? You got to make it up. You got to make it up as you go along. The resurrection will occur at the last day at His second coming. Has it happened yet? We're still here. Because at the last day, as we discussed this morning, second coming of Christ, the world's going to be destroyed. I think the last time I checked, the world's still here. You see how simple this is to figure out? The last day of the dead will be the issue. That will be the day of judgment. We'll talk about that next Sunday. AD 70 says it already happened. People have already been judged. I haven't been judged. Have you been judged? Not yet. Isn't that what John said? Isn't that what Jesus said in John 12, 48? The word which I have spoken, the same will judge you in what? Here we go again. Last day. Over and over and over again, Jesus speaks of the last day. How did those who lived during the lifetime of Jesus understand these words? Did they think that Jesus was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem? No. What about Martha, the brother of Lazarus? What did she think? Martha understood that the resurrection in John 11 was a bodily resurrection. Jesus returned to Bethany upon the death of Lazarus. He said, your brother will rise again. Was he talking about resurrection of a cause? Was she affected by a future type of resurrection of 70 AD that is now being taught by realized exologists? You know, I know that that's not what Jesus was talking about. You know why I know that? What did he do to Lazarus? He raised him from the dead. What kind of resurrection was that? A bodily resurrection. You know how I know that? When he came out of the grave, what was he in? His grave clothes. What did Jesus say? Loosed him and let him go. That wasn't a resurrection of a cause. That was a bodily resurrection. Just read the text. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Was she thinking about the destruction of Jerusalem and the resurrection of a cause? When she was talking about her brother? I don't think so. Martha understood that Lazarus would be raised in the resurrection of the last day. She had no knowledge of a resurrected dead church from the grave of Judaism. If she did, then she was wiser than I thought she was. Martha got it right. She understood the words of Jesus. Though he may die, he shall live. That's what Jesus said. And I think Jesus knows more about it than the 70 AD theory. Last. Faithful Christians have so much to look forward to. The resurrection and the last day will be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, eternally. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul assured us our hope of immortal glory. He talks about the new body. He talks about this tent being taken away and we get a new body that was built not with hands, but built in the heavens. We have a home in the heavens. Brethren, there is a final resurrection. It did not happen in AD 70. It did not happen, and I don't know when it will happen. It will happen at the last day. It will happen when the Lord returns to earth. It will happen when He says, all that are in the graves. By the way, when He called Lazarus forth, what did He say? He didn't say, come forth. He called Lazarus by name. Why did he do that? What would have happened in that graveyard where Lazarus was buried if Jesus would have said, come forth? Every grave would have been opened. Every grave would have been opened. But every grave wasn't opened because he just raised Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He called one man. And that was a bodily resurrection. Brethren, understand something. This doctrine makes a mockery out of the Bible. It makes passages that we have always understood that give us great hope, give us great comfort, and help us through difficult times. It makes them meaningless. And it gives us no hope of what's going to happen to you and I when we die, because we missed it. Brethren, I don't believe it. I believe it's heresy. I believe it's a false doctrine. And I believe anybody that believes it has to rewrite the meaning of what the Scripture teaches. You studied and see. You study 1 Corinthians 15. You tell me if you get the resurrection of a cause there. A resurrection of Christianity out of the casket of Judaism. Man, what a mind. That guy ought to go into science fiction writing. Brethren, he is talking about our hope beyond the grave. If we don't have it, we ought to just close up doors and we ought to stop building our new building because we're just spinning our wheels if there is no resurrection from the dead. You didn't miss it. It's still in the future and all men will experience it. And by the way, even those people that died in AD 70 will experience it. They have not experienced it yet, but they will one day. Lord willing, next Lord's Day, we'll talk about Judgment Day. What does the Bible say about the Day of Judgment? Has it already occurred? Now, brethren, the sad part of this series is you can't be deceived unless you let somebody lead you away. All you have to do is read and you can understand. That's how simple this is. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we don't want to close this service without giving you an opportunity to become one. Make your life right with God, we give you that opportunity too. If we can help you in any way, we bid you to come forward as together we stand, as we sing.